Okay, let's see what we can find today. We're in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. So let's have somebody. Who's going to start reading? We'll read a verse around. Okay, if you read the first verse, and we'll read all around the second chapter, although we won't cover all the second chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read the whole chapter, but we won't get that part.
Timothy or Peter?
Timothy.
Did I say Peter?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Thank you. At least you're listening if I'm not.
Is it chapter 2?
2. Yeah. We had a little bit left on chapter 1, but go ahead. Who's going to start? Go ahead, please.
You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, in this one?
Yeah.
Okay. And things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Keep going.
Grab his back.
Chloe's coming.
2 Timothy 2, verse 3.
You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ.
No man that weareth or tangleth, I can't remember the Bible, himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
An athlete is not crowded unless he competes according to the rules.
It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crop.
Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this.
Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was risen from the dead according to my gospel.
Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound.
Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
11.
This teaching is true. If we died with him, then we will also live with him.
You got a Bible?
12.
12.
We endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us.
If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for we cannot deny himself.
Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about wolves, to non-profit, to the reign of his heirs.
Keep reminding them of these things, warn them before God against quarreling about wolves. It is of no value.
Is that the last one?
That was 3:15.
Okay. Who's got a Bible? Well, we always have to have a Bible to read when we come to class. Let's stop there because we're only going to get as far as 2:13 today. Okay, so this book was written by the Apostle Paul, and why was it written?
To encourage Timothy.
What?
To encourage Timothy.
Why?
To share the gospel.
Yeah, but why was
because
it written?
Paul was being executed, like you said, and he was trying to tell Timothy to, you know, serve God even unto death and just, you know.
Okay, so, in other words, this was probably this is probably the last letter I'm going to write to him. What's the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 1?
2 Peter?
Yes. Thank you. No, I don't object to being challenged. Because, I mean, 2 Peter 1, first one to find it. The last verse, probably the last two verses.
For no prophecy...
Yep, that's the verse.
For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so we accept the fact that the whole Bible is the
Word of God.
Word of God, okay? So as we read these verses, although the Apostle Paul actually wrote them, yet they are the Word of God. And when we read it, we're reading it And if we check the context, is it really written for us? No, it wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. Okay? So as we go through here, he's looking, first of all, he starts out, I want you to have strength from God. Okay? How do we get strength from God? On John 15, verse 5.
Abiding in Christ.
In other words, having a close relationship with Him. The word strength is not an engineering term in the Bible. It's the ability to make a good decision. That's what it's talking about. So, here we have a list of things that Paul has been Timothy's sponsor. What else would we call him?
Father.
What?
He's kind of like the father to him.
Father, okay. He calls him even a father.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at this book as advice from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Now, I'm not the Apostle Paul and I'm not a scholar, but I'm seeking to get you to see that there's advice in here for your life. And we're going to see that there are certain things. The first thing is being, you read it. You just read it. What's the first characteristic of a Christian life? They're listed here. You just read it.
Being committed to Christ. Oh, being committed to Christ?
No. It likened to some job. First one. Come on, we just read it.
Soldier.
Right, a soldier. Okay, so we want to talk about in what ways is a Christian life like a soldier. So, inasmuch as you haven't memorized what you read, let's read it over again. Who read verse 2? Okay, would you please read verse 2? Next person read verse 3. Next person read verse 4.
And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach these to others also.
Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Know bear that whoever entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he be pleased him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Okay, let's see how many fine things we can find in this verse that would apply to our life today. What's the first one? In verse 2. The things you heard.
Commit these to faithful men who teach others.
Okay. So, we're to pass on the word of God. Remember I mentioned that every chapter mentions the importance of being sure we're true to this book. Okay? The word of God. This is the word of God. And we want to encourage other people. Do you interact with younger people at all? Okay. So, make it a point. Now, not every time you do it, but make it a point to talk to them about the Lord. How old are they?
All different ages.
Okay, but somebody younger than you, you can say one sentence. And say it at their age level. Don't try to say it at some age level where they can't comprehend. So this is one of the things that he says. Pass on the word of God. And the best way to pass it on is to Q.
Witness.
U. O. T.
Quote scripture.
Quote it. Right? So if we quote it, we're going to have a better chance of doing it right. So in order to quote scripture, you have to
memorize it.
Right. Very good. Okay. Okay. So that's the first thing. We want to be sure that we pass on what's accurately here. Somebody was just telling me yesterday that they were talking to somebody and they read something out of the Bible and the person said, "That's not my Bible." And as it happened, this girl was a Catholic, and the man was reading out of the Catholic Bible, so he turns the Bible to her and says, "You read it." So that's the best way. Now, obviously, preteens, that may be a little bit challenging sometimes, but that's the best way to actually have them read it. This is really in the Word of God. There was some place where they were having people read a verse out of the Bible, and there were some Jewish people in the class, and they said, "We don't like you guys reading from the New Testament." So the next day, somebody volunteered and read a verse from Isaiah 53, and the teacher spoke up and said, "We said you couldn't read from the New Testament." They had to prove it. So when a person reads it, they know you're not giving an interpretation on it. Okay? Be sure, though, take an opportunity. All of you have friends. You have a lot of younger siblings. So be sure. How many of the room here have your younger siblings? Okay. So every one of you, within the next week, maybe you could just say, John Lyman said we had to. So read a verse for them. But don't take a verse that doesn't mean anything out of context. Okay? Please, sometimes I get, disturbed when people are given verses to memorize and the verse by itself doesn't mean anything. Okay, so the first thing we got is be sure that we're keeping true to the Word of God. Okay? What's the next one? One more in verse 2, then we'll go on to verse 3. Remember, Paul is writing this. He thinks it's the last letter to his friend. Suppose that I told you I would never be back here again. I would be really trying to get you something that I felt was really valuable. Okay? What? Give me one more point out of verse 2. Anybody?
Is it the fact that Paul is wanting Timothy to share it with faithful young men who will be able to pass it on further?
Okay, somebody that's able to pass it on. Okay, so and how would you be sure that you had somebody that could pass it on?
Somebody who seems like they truly have a hunger to learn the scriptures and have a zeal to talk to other people about it.
Okay, what could you do?
Show them by example, lead by example.
Okay, and you could even go so far as to
lead them.
Tell them.
Tell them.
Okay, verse 3. Okay? What's a characteristic of a soldier?
They're able to endure.
Huh?
They're able to endure.
Okay. Is that the way your word is? Okay, mine says suffer hardship. Okay?
Hardship.
Okay, so you and I, if we're going to live for the Lord Jesus, we're going to be suffering hardships. We're going to be asked to do things. Give me an example of some hardship you may face. Now, most of you around the table are going to say, "I don't even have any." But some people would say that some things that you're doing are a hardship.
A constant battle with yourself.
Okay, very good. Okay, something else.
Peer pressure.
What?
Peer pressure.
Give me an example.
Just like, I think we talked about it yesterday, but when your group of friends want to go and have fun, they're really pressuring you to do it, even though you know you probably shouldn't do it.
Okay.
Able to not.
Okay, now that's a case where they're asking you to do something you shouldn't do. But did you have to make a choice in choosing a week to come to camp where you could have been going out sailing in a boat? So it wasn't the case of choosing between right and wrong. It was choosing between
good and bad?
Well, not really good and bad, but
self-pleasure and serving the Lord.
Okay, or good versus better.
That may or may not be not have been exactly what she just said. She said good and best.
She
says
good
and better.
It's good and better.
She said good.
Anyways.
But you're going to have that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was also going to say this is really small. I was just thinking about it because, like, a hardship that you go through at, like, camp, it's not really that hard. Maybe just because of me, but, like, losing out on sleep because you have to stay up late, like, working or wake up early to work. It's, like, not, yeah. I was just,
I'm tired. You had 7 hours of sleep tonight.
No.
Okay, so get up a little bit early so you can have a few minutes to talk to the Lord.
Yeah.
That would be, and again, you even said it, that it's really not that hard, but we will.
Oh, go ahead, keep finish.
Huh?
I didn't want to interrupt, but you can finish first.
No, you're more important.
Oh, man. What about, like, people rejecting the word? Like, so, like, you know, kids who just don't want to hear it, or, you know, they're distracted by the world and stuff like that.
Okay. On this matter of kids that don't want to hear it, there's a verse in John that says, I have many more things to tell you, but you're not able to tell them now. If people don't want to listen to you, they're not going to hear you even when you say it. So it doesn't do any good to force feed people the Word of God. You've got to get to the point where they're willing to listen.
Yeah, sometimes with family members that can be sort of a hardship, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's go on. next verse 4. Give me what's something out of verse 4. It's a characteristic of a believer. Somebody hasn't spoken yet.
Being mindful.
What do you mean?
Just being mindful of other people's feelings and how they, you know, teach them.
Okay. But now in verse 4, we got...
That is in verse 4.
Okay. There's something else, okay? You talked already. I got to get some of these guys that... haven't talked yet. Something in verse 4 that Paul says is a characteristic of a soldier, which should be characteristic of believers.
You don't get caught up in, like, the things of, like, what's happening around you, like, with other people. You just focus on, like, God and things in the world.
Give me an example of something that you don't want to get caught up in that may not even be wrong.
I just, like, drama that doesn't even matter, like in eternity, like drama, like at school or something that doesn't matter in eternity, but like God is what matters, so just focus on that.
Okay. Now, if it's school, you may have to be obligated to do it.
Well, not like, yeah, I just like friends, I guess, like bad friends in school. That's what I'm.
Okay. Any other? Give me an example of something that's an entanglement. Something that takes time that really is not profitable, to use Kohler's idea, that won't matter in eternity.
Phones.
Phones.
Phones? Okay. Very good. Okay. Now, I wouldn't have thought of that when I was your age.
Says the one that wants
a phone. No, I don't.
Because they were all wired in those days. Okay. So... we're talking here that the Christian life is like a soldier's life in many ways. Okay? How about hobbies? It's easy to get into hobbies or things that we do that just are using time. I was very disappointed in somebody about my age that said she started working on puzzles because she didn't know what to do. And I was shocked because just a few years ago, she was so busy helping other people that she couldn't get her own work done. And here now she's frustrated and trying to find something just to fill the time. But there's so much valuable. And there's people that really need to hear the gospel. But who was it said here? You got to build up a rapport with people before you can talk to them. Maybe helping them, doing something for them, opening the door, or bringing them to the grocery store, or picking up stuff. okay, do things to help to win an open ear to the people. Okay, what's the next one after soldier?
An athlete.
Okay, give me an example in which a Christian life is like an athlete. Anybody? Somebody that hasn't spoken up yet. In what way is a Christian life like an athlete?
You compete by the rules.
You have to, okay, now give me an example of competing by the rules in Christian life.
Well, God has given us things that we can and can't do.
Okay.
More or less rules, so just abiding by those.
Give me an example. How about Hebrews 10:24 or 25?
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Now, you say, well, that's not a rule, but what is it? A suggestion to what?
To get together.
Yeah. We need the interaction of other believers. Now, does that mean every time you get together you have to have a Bible study? No, but you'll rub off characteristics of believers by interacting with them, whether it's sports or whether whatever. Okay. Any more on the athlete? Guess not. Okay, what's the next one? You got one?
I had one for the athlete.
Okay.
The Christian life is kind of like an athlete because we're pressing for the prize that's at the end. We're pressing forward through this earthly life for the spiritual rewards that are.
Very good. Have you ever watched anybody play football or
yes.
played it?
Yes.
How far do you have to be out of the border, line, in order to be called?
If you're touching the line.
Just touching it.
Okay. Now, do we look that way at the Christian life? Well, you know, this is just not so bad. A little bit of this won't hurt too bad. Do you see the analogy there? Okay, let's go on next one. This is a little bit harder.
Farmer?
Fart.
Yeah, but what?
Hardworking farmer.
Okay, so what's the analogy with a hardworking farmer and a Christian?
Planting a seed and then growing it and then sowing it and stuff. And reaping.
Okay, but now you've given it what the farmer does. Now, how does that apply to a Christian?
Finding someone and, you know, like planting the seed and then like just witnessing to them. You know, I guess planting the seed and then helping them grow.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, so we don't just tell them something. We encourage them. Okay? Okay? Any more on the farmer? I can tell you what happened. John Lennon's voice is too loud. Okay, let's go on. What does the word consider mean? Give me an Old Testament word that has a similar definition of consider.
Ponder.
Yeah, very good. Okay, and more common one, starting with M.
Meditate.
Okay. But ponder is very good, very probably closer than even meditate. But to think through. When you read your scripture in the morning, I don't know whether you read 10 chapters or one verse, but you think about it. What does it really mean? Okay, very good. Okay, let's go on. Remember Christ Jesus risen from the dead, descended from David. What's the significance of that? What's the significance that Jesus can trace his human genealogy back through David.
Is it through Abraham? Because his genealogy goes back to Abraham.
Well, that's not the significance I'm looking for.
Isn't it that because that is kind of what made him a king, in a sense?
What?
Isn't that because that's what made him a king, in a sense?
Excellent, yes, right. So who is this Jesus? The
king
of
the Jews.
Well, that's true, but...
Of kings.
Oh, king of kings.
Very good, okay. King of the universe. The greatest one that ever was. The promise. Remember, David was given this promise. Your dynasty will last forever. And the fact that it lasted beyond... Manasseh.
Yeah.
To me, he says God keeps his word. What was Manasseh? What was he like?
Very wicked.
Very wicked. Right, and yet God didn't wipe it out. In fact, Manasseh would probably meet him. He was saved after wandering along like an atheist. Okay, let's go on here. Paul says to Timothy, I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment. Give me an illustration about how it might be very likely that you would suffer hardship. And we won't go as far as imprisonment yet.
People around us, even friends, will criticize us for being Christians.
Okay, specifically, what might they criticize about this week?
Bible camp.
What about it?
It's a Bible camp.
Yeah. Well, put it whole thought. That's an answer, but I want an incomplete thought.
And we preach the Bible.
That's not a complete thought. I want you to give me a complete thought.
They don't like that we preach the Bible?
Okay, that's one aspect of it. That's a different one than I was looking. What else about a Bible camp would... They criticize.
The people that go there?
What about it?
Oh, they're just a bunch of, like, Bible thumpers or whatever.
Goody two-shoes.
Religious people.
That's a word that probably is a lot.
They what?
Goody two-shoes. Or, like, they'll make fun of you, like, most, well, like, say it's for sissies or whatever. They don't
okay.
really have a reasoning behind it.
Okay. There's yeah. something we're even more basic about that.
We have something they don't.
Okay, but an unbeliever criticizing you for being in a Bible camp this week.
Could have been doing something else.
Very good, right. You're so dumb that you waste a whole week of summer at a Bible camp. You could have been sunning yourself out in the backyard or going for swims.
Sleeping.
Very good, okay. Okay. They will criticize us for anything. Okay, so now let's take it in context. For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. That's what Paul is saying, that they're accusing him. Is he in jail because of being a criminal?
No.
Well, it depends on whose standard you're going by. The people that put him in jail because they considered him a
criminal.
Why?
Because they didn't like what he had.
For instance, there are people in jail today for preaching the gospel. They're considered a criminal because
they don't agree with what the world is saying.
Right. Okay. Let's go on. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. Give me an example of how you might have to suffer for some other Christian friend of yours. Before going to jail. How might you have to suffer when you get back to home because you want to help some Christian?
Repeat it in a different way.
Is there any way you can rephrase that?
You're going to get back home, and you're going to help some Christian in some way that's going to cause people to mock you or to reject you. Give me some examples of that.
Of helping, or how we might be mocked?
How you would... Well, why you'd be mocked and how you might be mocked.
Maybe if it's like someone who's, I guess, unpopular or whatever, and you just hang out with them a lot and sort of, you know, be a friend of them, then you can start being mocked. Mm-hmm. You're hanging out with someone who isn't exactly, yeah, on top of the charges or whatever.
Okay, and how would they mock you then?
Just start doing the same thing they're doing with the person you're trying to be a friend with. You're wasting your time, I guess. I don't know.
But you started out, though, by saying it was somebody popular.
No. Like, you're helping out somebody that these people don't like.
Oh, they think they're very cool.
Okay, and stuff, and you're helping them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very common. You ever have it happen to you? Mm-hmm. No, but
yes.
You...
Yes.
Okay. What do you say?
You just say that's what Kais would want me to do, I guess.
What?
Just say that's what Christ would want me
to do. Okay, very good, okay. Don't try to argue with them. If they reject that, just leave it alone. Drop it. Okay, let's go on. What's the next section here? Again, this is Paul encouraging this 30-year-old. I know that's ancient for you guys. It's my grandchildren are almost, most of them over that age. But.
Oh, wow.
Okay, verse 10. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of the chosen. We talked about that. So that they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. How can I work with a friend so that they will obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus? He says here in verse 10, we already talked about the first part, so I'm skipping down. He says, I endure hardship so that these people may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Now, why does he word it that way, salvation which is in Christ Jesus? That's part of it. But the main question is, he's asking Timothy to follow him. For this reason, I endure all things. We've talked about some of the things which we might endure by helping others. But the whole object of him willing to do that is so they obtain salvation. Now, we said sometimes you can't talk to people about the Lord until they... What? What do you have to win before you can talk to people about the Lord?
Their respect.
Their trust.
Their trust. What do you mean by their trust? You won't steal from them?
Well, the fact that, like, you may not lie to them or something. So okay. What you might say would be true.
Okay. So how long does it take to make a reputation of not lying?
Usually a lot.
Depends. Who it is.
Okay. But how long does it take?
A while.
Why?
Because the world is bad. The world is untrusting. They're used to people they can't trust, but when you're different, when you show you're different, you know, then they might sort of be warmed up to it, I guess.
Okay. What were you going to say?
It also matters, though, how long, like, if they've had more people who broke their trust more, then they're even longer to get for you to trust them.
So you can't really get, like, an exact time on how long it usually takes. Cause it just depends person to person.
Okay, but they list some of the things, like you're listing now, okay? You intimated. If you've had an experience, what about a person that's had experience of Christians lying to them? Do Christians do that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sad to say. But you and I have to be ultra cautious that we don't leave an impression of lying. Even though we're not lying, if we say things that might get the person to even think that we might be, We have to be ultra
careful.
Careful.
Careful. Okay. So why is it salvation which is in Christ Jesus?
He's the only way.
What might other ways be that you have to clarify?
Not by works.
Very good. Okay.
Let me expand on that.
Now, how are you going to convince somebody that salvation is by what Jesus did rather than by works?
Well, you have to show them that the Bible is true. And if the Bible is true, then the words in it are true, and that's not what the Bible says.
You're one that I would just love to ask a question. I'm going to ask it, but your buddies are going to help you. How do you convince? Yeah, we'll come right back to you.
So, did you say if they think it's good works? Why would it be good works if God sent his son to the world to die for us? We wouldn't need God if we were getting to heaven by good works.
Very good, except some people will say, yes, he died, but then I got to add something.
Yeah, exactly.
We can never pay the price that Jesus paid.
Say that again. Say it again.
Like, what Christ did for us, there's no way that we could ever repay that. Like, first you have to achieve that there's no way you can work your way to heaven.
How would you do that?
Again, through Scripture.
Okay. Now, you're referring to the Scripture. What is this book other than an ancient book?
It's the Word of Christ.
Inspired Word of God.
How do you know that? How are you going to tell somebody that it is, really?
Because nothing in the Bible has ever been disproven.
Well, they'll challenge you on that.
I mean, so if they actually have the time and they want the truth, then there are multiple ways you can prove the Bible is true.
Well, no, I just want one.
It's been written over a long period of time. It's the only book in the world that's been written. What was it?
1,500 years?
More than 2 years. More than 2 years, something like that.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was written by, I don't know.
40.
40?
40 people, but yet it all lines up. So you can't do that with any other book in the world.
Those are very, very important concepts. There's another one where the Lord actually, in Isaiah, somewhere between 40 and 50, that the Lord says, I do this so you'll know that I know what's ahead, nobody else does. It's somewhere between 40 and 50. I thought I had them underlined. There's a number of them. I'm looking for verses that say, I predict the future in a way that your idols and no other god can do it.
Is it gods of Babylon?
It's somewhere in Isaiah between 40 and 50.
I think it's
Isaiah 43, 1 and 4, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, would you read those verses? What's the chapter again?
I think it is, because I wrote down, because he was talking about it yesterday, and I think...
Isaiah 43,
1 and 4. I think it is. Maybe. I don't know.
Might be 46.
For I am the Lord your God. The
well, there's three or four places.
Isaiah 44, I think is where...
Well, wait a minute. Don't answer now until you got it read. You know it?
I've got it right here.
Okay. Okay, everybody turn to that reference, and there's some others. But if you, I don't know, some people don't believe in marking their Bible, but I do. But I'm not going to try to convince you. Or write down, because this is a very, very important concept. Okay, would you read it, please? It may take two or three verses.
Yeah.
Read it so it's a complete thought.
I don't know exactly if this is where we're at, but it talks about graven images.
Well, no, I want somebody that got the verse in front of them.
No, I have it right here.
Okay, read it.
Oh, is it the specific verse that you were talking about?
No, I don't care. It's the same, because the concept is repeated a number of times.
Okay.
If you got one of them, that's fine.
It
Isaiah
says,
what?
Isaiah 44, starting in verse 9. It says, "They that make graven images are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are all their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or a molten, a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with his tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with his hammer, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint." And then it goes on and gives more examples about how the idol workers still have the needs that their own idols can't fulfill.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a verse that says that the Lord predicts the future. Okay, have you got one there? What number?
Isaiah 45, verses 18 and 19.
Isaiah 45, 18 and 19? Okay, let's look at that one. Okay, read it.
"For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right."
Well, now, that doesn't say that he predicts the future like idols can't. That's the verse I'm looking for.
Is it the verse like, "For I know the plans that I have for you"?
No, that's a different one.
Well, 46, verse 3.
Here, Isaiah 46, I just had it.
Verse
3? Don't talk until you actually read it and convince yourself that you got the one.
I got this.
There's one at 48:5.
Okay.
I encourage all of you to have your Bible with you every day, because this is what we're going to be doing. You got 48:5?
I have it.
Okay, read it, please.
"I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Lest thou should say, my idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them."
Read the next one also.
"Thou hast heard see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have shown thee, knew thee from this time, even hidden thee, and thou did not know them."
Okay. So, remember what Micah says, that somebody from everlasting is going to be born in... Come on, you all know. As soon as I yell the answer, you're going to say, "I knew that." Micah says somebody from everlasting is going to be born in
Jerusalem.
No.
Nazareth.
What?
Nazareth.
No.
Of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm pointing at. Where was he born?
Bethlehem.
Okay. So where was this one from eternity past born?
Bethlehem.
How long was there between the prophecy of Micah and the birth of Jesus?
Quite a bit.
500 years?
Yeah, but I'm more specific.
300?
Over 400 years. Over 400 years. Remember yesterday I asked you who's going to be the next president of the United States? You know, we don't even know. Nobody knows. The person's living. But here, 400 years and... somebody's going to be born in Bethlehem who can trace his genealogy back to David. And there's many things where the Lord predicts specific things. Okay, so that's one thing we can show, one reason why you have confidence in the Bible. And others have said that we've never found a mistake in the Bible. But that's going to take time, because people are going to bring out two verses to you and they're going to say they contradict, and you're going to look at them and understand, like some brother was saying to me just yesterday, when science finds two things that contradict, what do? "Oh, science is wrong, forget it." No, they say, "Wait a minute, we got to figure out how these things actually mesh, because real science doesn't contradict each other. So that's what we want to do with the Bible. When people throw up, a lot of times you'll find people that are talking about eternal salvation, then the other people are talking about works. We get rewards for works, or they get burned up. But with the salvation, it's permanent. Okay, let's get back to our 2 Timothy. Again, keep in mind that these are things that Paul told this young guy who he's been with for 14 years that he should really remember. Remember, we reread the first verse of 2 Timothy 4 yesterday. I'll read that again before we continue on in our class. I'm going to interrupt this class in about 7 minutes. Somebody read 2 Timothy 4:1.
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom.
One more.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching.
So, what's Paul telling Timothy? Say it in your own words. Hey, where'd everybody go?
Just preach.
To preach.
Oh, but it's much, much more than that.
Always be ready to do the Lord's work.
What?
Always be ready to do the Lord's work.
Yeah, but there's something more emphatic in that. The first verse.
Even like if we're being like, like persecuted, that we should still be preaching like the disciples.
Well, that's sort of implied, but that's not what he's saying.
Wait.
Who's watching?
God. Everybody and God?
Huh?
God.
Well, specifically?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Both the Father and Lord Jesus listening, and I'm telling you this. Wouldn't that sort of carry weight if I told you that, you know, I'm telling your dad I'm going to ask you to do this, and I'm telling those people that you're very interested in getting the job, and I'm going to tell them that you're going to be doing this. Would you be a little bit more implied to do it? No. Okay. What would I have to do? Do you get the point, though? I know you're trying to be funny. That's okay. I do the same thing. But the point is, the point is that Paul is trying with all his might to say, Timothy, this is the most important thing that I can possibly tell you. God is watching. Someday you're going to be judged by this. Would you please be sure? And then you said what? Preach the word. Anytime. Always be ready. Okay, so let's go on. What else have we got here? Okay, there's a quotation in verses 11, 12, and 13. Summarize. Put them in your own words, very careful, casually. Who's going to do it? Take verses 11, 12, and 13. Put in your own words, just roughly. Don't be worried about technical right now. Paul is telling Timothy, chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. Put them in your own words, just very casually.
That whatever we, wherever we go and whatever we do, that the Lord will still be with us.
Excellent, okay. Anybody else?
Basically saying, like, remember that we were born into Christ's life when we became saved. So, we were born into Christ's life whenever we became saved. So it's basically just him reminding Timothy of that.
Okay. Anybody else?
He's kind of going on and explaining, if you do this for Christ, then God will give you such and such. If you be dead to the world, then you will be alive with Christ. And then he explains down in verse 12, if we deny Christ, if we will deny him, then he's going to deny us. He's not going to claim us if we won't claim him. But then in the next verse, he goes on to say that God cannot deny himself. And whenever we claim to be of God, we are claiming the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says God cannot deny himself, he's saying that God cannot deny us if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ.
But I asked my 4-year-old great-granddaughter to explain something, and I said, you can't use the word you're explaining to explain the word. So you got to use a different word than what's in the verse.
Maybe kind of basically, if we do these things for God, then we'll be kind of rewarded in the same manner.
Very good. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Verse 14, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them. What does that mean? If I said that to you, remind the people. Now, you're going to leave this class in about 7-8 minutes, but I got to take your picture first. just remember what we talked about. Is that what he's saying? Verse 14, remind them, solemnly remind them. Okay, so, but don't wrangle about words. In other words, if somebody misses a word and they're trying to tell you something, don't jump on them because you've been told that it has to be a certain way. Okay, verse, who's it got in Old King James in their hand there? Would you read verse 15?
It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay. Who's got a non-King James? Okay, would you read it?
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay. The reason I say that, it isn't limited to just formal studying, but whatever you do, be diligent in it. You're working for God. Everything you do, whether you're digging a ditch, whether you're sitting in a classroom with an old gray-haired guy, or whatever you're doing it, and someday you're going to sit before God, and he's going to explain what he liked and what he didn't like. Okay? Anything else in verse 15?
It's saying they're a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Is we have no need to be ashamed of Christ if we have him,
right?
So,
oh, come on now, this I hit some button wrong and I got it. There. Keep going. Please, listen. I'll tell you why the reason I want your picture. Please look up. I pray for every one of you guys. I got 100 and some people I'm praying for every day, and some of your faces I can't remember. I'm going to have to go back and write down your names after this. So I'm serious about this. I appreciate you looking at it. Thank you. Okay.
Cut off. I know what you're doing.
Okay, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. Your name will be before the throne of grace, and I'll even remember what you look like. God will, but even if I don't. Okay, so don't be lazy about what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, remember that you're doing it for God. Now, when I say digging a ditch, and you have to dig a ditch so you can bury something, obviously, you don't have to have a square hole. You know, it don't go to extremes on things. I worked as an engineer, and I have drafters working for me. And sometimes you give them a job, and they're going in some detail that's totally irrelevant. That's when I say be diligent, it doesn't mean waste your time on something that doesn't matter. Time is valuable. You only have 24 hours today, and you'll never get it again. Just remember that you're using it wisely. Does God allow us, expect that we can rest? Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Verse 16, we got... Oh, we got, my goodness, we got 10 minutes left. Avoid worldly and empty chatter. What does that mean?
It means just don't get caught up on these worldly things. Just keep your eyes on Christ.
Well, that's very good, but it's a little bit even lighter than that. How many molecules can you put on the head of a pin?
Oh, that's a lot.
Total nonsense. Not of any value at all, right?
No, it isn't.
Okay, that's what it's talking about here. Don't waste your time arguing about stuff that's just nonsense. Can you square a circle? These are questions. They're total nonsense. I mean, people talk about stuff like that, but it's total nonsense. Okay, 17. Oh, wait, how far are we supposed to go? We went too far already.
We only read through 15.
Okay. Okay, would somebody close with a word of prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together in this session. We want to pray that as we go throughout this day that we will take everything that we've learned and apply it to our lives. We want to pray that everything we do that will be glorifying to you. We want to pray that we all have safety throughout this day and have a great time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.